Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
Really?
Yeah.
Do tell.
Yeah.
What else do you know, Bill?
I don't have a sponsor.
Sing it.
Yeah, well, one of several sponsors, but our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery.
No, I really wanted you to sing it.
What? What? Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just off I-5. Give them a call, 226-9226. They've got everything you want in John Deere, Honda, Steel. They got it in stock. Go up and see them. Or get them on the web, papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
So, there we go. I was having a little computer problem. Hey, if you haven't been keeping up with the Arizona audit, well, shame on you. I know that the media hasn't really covered it very well. They are starting to now, though. So I think we're at the part where you know the old phrase. You know, when you're over the target, it's when you start getting flack. So
yeah, we're rolling into 7 months since the election. I think it's time to kind of put some cards on the table.
So our friend Dr. Lyle Rapacki and our other friend Claire Lopez, they are going to come on with us. We have been. We keep posting that we're doing an update on Arizona. We've been doing this, I think, for a month. And every single week, it's like, oh, boosted a week. This is the week. It's happening. We're actually going to find out what's going on from the people who are doing it. So I know that everybody worries they're going to get some bad intel from the media or whatever. But I've found that the greatest way to get good information is talk to the people who are actually involved.
Yep.
Pretty handy. Turns out we already knew them. So you can find all that at wethepeopleradio.us. And on that page, we've got posted connections to Dr. Lyle. We've got a mailing address for you. We've got the links to the videos and the podcast that he does with Prescott E-News. So that's on there for you. So we'll talk about those things. But if you don't have anything to write with, it's just all right there for you.
Go to the website.
Go to the website.
Read the website.
Be the ball.
There you go.
Different movie. So our friend Dr. Lyle Rapacki is a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. Totally leads right into election buffoonery. Those are all good prerequisites. And since June of 2010, he's been providing selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. And we've done several shows with him, bunches of shows, I should say, about that particular topic, which is awesome. He's the author of dozens of white pages, bulletins, and briefings, many of which have received distribution to and by local, state, and federal law enforcement, intelligence, and public safety agencies nationally. So I'm not sure what's happening with Sentinel Intelligence Services, but he does own that, and need to find out if that's just had to go on break because he's been so darn busy with this other thing. We're going to get the full scoop on that. And then our friend Claire Lopez, she's the founder and president of Lopez Liberty LLC with a mission to alert and educate Americans on a range of national security issues, international as well as from the Islamic movement, Muslim Brotherhood, and collaborators among the ranks of the Marxists, communists, and a whole bunch of them are in this country. Spoiler alert.
She's probably very busy right now. Lots of material to look over.
Oh, man. So from 2014 to 2020, she served as the vice president for research and analysis at the Center for Security Policy. And we have not talked to Claire for a while.
I know. It's been a while.
And she's got a really long bio. She did CIA stuff, and she's on the Citizens Commission on Benghazi, and she's an advisor to EMP Act America. Claire's a busy bee. These guys both are. So let's get to them and find out what they want to tell us today, because we didn't actually plan this as per usual. We just kind of let our guests come on and tell us stuff. So, yous guys, where do you want to start today?
Well,
the sky's
thank
the limit.
You both. It's great being back with you. It's been a while, and I know that you've tried to get both of us on, and Claire's been gracious to defer to me, and I've been screwing things up because of this audit. What looks like I can do one day, all of a sudden in the middle of the night, I can't do the next day because I get a phone call and there's a problem. So thank you both, all of you, and my adopted sister, Claire. Claire and I have known each other a long time. She hasn't aged, I have, but she hasn't. She looks and she's very, very smart. And we've talked together, I think, Claire, I think we've briefed on several occasions together, and she's really the real deal. She's not a desk jockey. She's worked the field. She's an operator, so she's what she has to say today, and her perspectives are very well worth taking notes on because she has a unique perspective on things.
It's interesting. The first time we met both of you, you were on together.
Yeah.
Back in
2016. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, back in 2016.
My little brother there is taller than me, but younger. It is being very generous, but it's true. We have known each other for a long, long time and go back in the same kinds of things, though. You know, conservative circles, and trying to bring clarity to what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and just in case people thought Claire might be a slouch, I'll spoiler alert the end of her bio. She completed Marine Corps Officer Candidate School in Quantico, Virginia, before declining a military commission to join the CIA. options.
Gee, what to do.
So she might know some stuff. Or she might be able to rip her head off, I'm not sure which.
She does to me every now and then. She balls me out.
Claire can be her enforcer.
let me see. The audit, let me explain, first of all, for proper notification, I'm not involved with the audit. I don't do the audit. I have nothing. They won't allow me around the computers. Everybody who knows me won't allow me around the computers.
Are you kidding me? You always have to call and ask me what time it is before we do a show. Please don't let him near the computers.
I was just on the phone to Claire going, I can't punch this number in. And on my I got these darn gadgets.
I told him, the machines know, and you have to be nice to them, and you have to talk gently to them,
yeah.
And they hear you.
They're like dogs. Know. They can smell fear.
Oh, they do. And they go, oh, here comes Dr. Lyle. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
Lock it down.
I became involved with the voter fraud on or about, how's that for legal reasons?
There you go.
November 10th of 2020, I was asked by members of the Arizona legislature to coordinate the joint legislative public hearing that was held in Phoenix on November 30th. On November 30th, there was an all-day, 10-hour hearing. Excuse me. The Mayor Giuliani presented evidence, and Colonel Phil Waldron, who's a national security and cybersecurity specialist, Jenna Ellis, who's a constitutional attorney, all presented evidence along with a number of other people, and I was privileged to coordinate all aspects of that day. Beginning on November 10th, and that was my fifth joint legislative hearing I've coordinated in the last 10 years, and it's like herding cats whenever you work with elected officials. It's just really getting them all going in the same direction is really a unique thing. But all aspects of the media, security, witnesses, testimonies, the whole thing, water, I mean, whatever.
Snacks.
If it had anything to do with November 30th, it came before my desk. So that's what started. And then Mayor Giuliani inherited me with Colonel Waldron, and I went on with them advising and consulting from a political standpoint and a political intelligence standpoint. And then as Mayor Giuliani moved on, Colonel Waldron came more to the forefront, and I've stayed with him up until it was decided that he was too public and had been too aligned with the Giuliani team. And so the Arizona Senate made the decision to find another national security, cybersecurity team, and that was with the Ninjas. And that's who's, they're out of Florida. And Doug Logan is the head of that and is the head of the Arizona forensic audit that's now taking place. And I kid with Doug that he inherited me from Phil Waldron, who inherited me from Mayor Giuliani, who inherited me from the Arizona legislature. And Doug Logan is so gracious and says, no, I've adopted you. So I think that's a step up. I'm not sure. Now, I'm saying all this to get it correct for people. I'm not on the floor of the audit. I've been down on the floor, but I'm not there. I don't count the ballots. I don't do any of that. I deal with political consulting and problem solving. And for the last 7 months now, since about November 10th, that's what I've done. So it's been extremely rewarding. I've been very privileged, but I'm also tired, and I'm ready to move on.
Yeah, the project that won't end.
All of a sudden at 10 o'clock at night, you get a secure call saying, we've got a problem, and can you be down here tomorrow? It's just after a while, it's just like, oh, my gosh, please stop. So that's kind of, in a very vague way, what I've done for the last 7 months. It's given me a great behind-the-scenes look at things, and just again, for the record, there may be some things I can't answer just yet. I can't discuss because of national security or sensitivity.
Bill's ready to jump off his chair. Uh-oh.
Did I say something already?
Bill's like, please tell me he's not going to say he can't tell us stuff.
No, I can tell you more. Now,
hey, Lyle, we've got about 3 minutes till the first break. For people who, because there is people listening that are going, Arizona audit, why Arizona? I know one thing that I didn't know before. I learned from your podcast there at Prescott E-News, and that is that Maricopa County is the fourth largest county in the country. So, correct. I mean, I think we don't think about who's got the most people, you know, whose county is the most populated. But it's an extremely populated county, and that's what makes this such a big deal. But can you give people any insight into why this started in Arizona instead of, like, I don't know, Georgia, Philadelphia, someplace else?
I can. Representative Mark Fincham, who's also been on the show with you and me, Representative Fincham found out that there were serious fraud allegations on the day after the election. A number of affidavits came forward very quickly, and what happened then was that he took what was going on and shared that we have enough probable cause here to look into the allegations. He went to court, and the courts allowed a simple ballot of 100 ballots randomly chosen to look at. And 6% of them were then considered highly unlikely matched. What that meant was that there was a potential for 199,000 fraudulent ballots in Arizona. So with those probable cause issues, what was launched then was the joint legislative hearing to look into this, and since Mayor Giuliani had already started this process, he was contacted, and very quickly Arizona was chosen as the first state to really look into this. Secondly, it's because Arizona was the first state that had multiple legislators, Senate, House members willing to come forward and have a public hearing. Since that time, we have 8 states that are now, clearly they've watched Arizona, and they're now in line. And we can talk about that after the break.
Okay, cool. Right on target there. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. You can find everything about the program and past shows and a lot of the lead-in to this at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
Not too much fanfare for coming back, huh?
No, here you go.
Didn't oversell it, did we?
Hey, Lyle, one of the things I hear from people is, well, there's always going to be a certain amount of fraud, and in this case, yeah, there was fraud, but it wasn't really enough to change the results. With what you're saying, with 199,000 possible fraudulent votes, would that have been enough to change the results?
Well, I'm going to use in quotes here, the official, that's in quotes, Biden won by 10,459 votes in the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
So 199,000 is mostly enough to change the rotation of the earth.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
The way we know.
And Maricopa County was chosen because it was the fourth largest county in the nation, but also in Arizona, two other counties had the same type of problems, and that was Pima, which is Tucson, and Coconino. So we have three counties in Arizona, but Maricopa is the largest, and clearly what was presented to then to Mark Fincham, Representative Fincham, was affidavits outlining the serious but specifics of alleged voter fraud. That was enough to go to court and asked for a sample count. The court allowed 100 ballots randomly chosen, and from that 100 ballots, 6% of those were found to be fraudulent. So if you add that 6% across the county, keeping with that number, yes, you've got a very, very serious problem on your hands. Well, then, what that did is it created enough talk to begin to look into this last election. And what we found rather quickly was that the machines had been altered in such a way that when a person went to go vote, the vote was sent to Biden instead of Trump, or a vote was taken away from Trump and not only given to Biden, but then added to. So that's where we came up with fractionalized voting. So what ended up happening is if you and Bill were running for king of this, of your area, and I wanted to vote for Bill because Bill pays me a little bit more than Aaron does, I get $1.85 when Bill pays me an hour per show.
Proud of it, too.
Anyway, yeah, thanks, Bill. Anyway, I go vote for Bill. Not only did my one vote not go to Bill, and it went to Aaron, but what the machinery did is it added a 0.4 to Aaron. So Aaron got 1.4 votes every vote that came her way. Well, I don't know how you get a 0.4.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened was when they shut the voting down across the country at different time zones at like 11 or 12 o'clock, you'll remember in one state there was a water problem, flood, pipe broke.
Oh, yeah, supposedly.
Yeah, but that was a lie. And there were other lies where they shut down systematically these voting precincts. When they reopened, all the votes were different. Well, what we've learned through evidence, not opinion, is that they either brought in ballots to make up the difference for Biden over Trump, or they went ahead and then began to do the work cyberly to do the point forward and to change the votes that way. So when the voting stopped, Trump may have been ahead, let's say, by 10,000. I'm just picking this as an example. That's all I'm doing. By 10,000, but at 6 o'clock the next morning when they reopened the counting, Biden was ahead by 100,000. How can that happen?
Yeah, exactly.
And we have that on several states. The other thing is, for fact, not opinion, 16 states have been impacted by all of this. Arizona plus 15 additional states. The same pattern has happened in all 16 states. So as all of this began to unfold, we saw what clearly appeared to be collusion and also fraud of a magnitude never known before. In any election, you're going to get somebody who's deceased who ends up voting on the voting rolls. That happens. There's certain percentages, small percentages. Or a person moves and they get two ballots, but it's usually checked. But even when it's checked more thoroughly than this last election, there's still mistakes made. That's not what we're referring to here. We're referring to very significant fraud, very significant collusion to alter the very basic integrity of our system. And that has already, if you go back to Arizona today, my last couple of shows with Colonel Waldron, what he and I begin to do is open the curtain and begin to share with people the evidence, not the opinions and the hypotheses, but the evidence that's been gathered, and we begin to share it. Again, for the record, there are certain things that can't be discussed just yet for national security and sensitivity reasons, but it will come out. I can say that. I've said it on my show. I've said it here. It will come out. People just have to be a bit more patient. So the audit is ongoing. There's been serious multiple attempts to stop it, but it starts on again tomorrow. There's been a week hiatus that was planned. People are panicked over things. Again, stuff is written that's just totally theatrical. It was planned. We knew it would stop for a week. That's given a week's time for the audit team to make some corrections, to fine-tune what's taking place, and it starts again tomorrow. It'll probably take another 3 weeks. They've had to go through 2.1 million ballots for just Maricopa County.
Wow.
So it's a massive undertaking. And there's been mistakes made, but as I pointed out on the show, and Colonel Waldron has, Mayor Giuliani, who's been on my show, also has, Senator Borelli, who has really led the fight here in Arizona for the Senate. This has never been done before anywhere in the nation. So other states have really clearly been watching Arizona. They've learned from what we've done. They've learned some things that they shouldn't do. And we're very excited that we could be a style setter, if you will allow me that.
Well, tell me this, because, you know, when people hear that you're recounting the actual ballots, I think a lot of the focus has been on the electronic side of it. But everyone assumes that if you're counting physical ballots, it'll come out like it did before. So how would recounting them now, or what process, I guess, is happening now?
Yeah, because if there was a bunch of fraudulent ballots cast, then, yeah, the count's going to come out pretty close to
and
what
you can't match
got.
Who was dead and who was double voted and all that. So maybe give people a little insight into that whole physical ballot situation there.
14,362 dead people voted, and we have their names, addresses, the date of their death, when they were buried, all of that. So that's one thing that was already presented to the Arizona Senate and the Arizona House as part of the probable cause to go ahead and commence this audit.
And 14,000 was enough, again, to flip it, because Biden won by what, 10?
10,000. So that was one element in a series of elements of evidence that was presented in a closed-door hearing to the leadership of the Senate and the House. I was in that hearing. Mayor Giuliani and Colonel Waldron and Jenna Ellis all presented evidence. Now, there was evidence that was presented the day before on November 30th, but I will tell you there was additional evidence that was not presented that day but was presented in a closed setting to the leadership. Likewise, the Senate and the House leadership had been briefed by the president himself. President Trump had contacted them on a joint secure call twice. The vice president, then Vice President Mike Pence, contacted them on a secure call twice, and Mayor Giuliani had contacted them on a secure call once. So prior to the November 30th hearing, they'd already received five briefings. In those briefings were very specific articles of evidence, not opinions, not hypotheses, not theories. I can't discuss that right now. It will be discussed. It will No, it shall be presented, but I can't right now.
Okay,
but
so
tell you is,
oh, I'm sorry.
What I can also tell you is that going back to Bill's question, evidence was presented showing how ballots were submitted that were fraudulent. The paper, the markings were different than the official ballots. I can't get into that right now.
All but right. There is a way to tell that.
There is a way to tell it. It's already been told. There's also a way to tell that the machinery had been altered. The machinery have been scanned 2 weeks ago. The machines are already back in Maricopa County. They're not with the cyber ninjas. They're not at the Coliseum. They've already been scanned. They were scanned and sent back. And I'm not a cyber person. Claire knows this. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows this. So everybody just kind of gives Dr. Lyle a little latitude here when I use a word, and they go, that's not the word, but we know what he's saying. So I'm just saying that for the record. Claire, what is it they put into the machine? A little...
It's called a NIC. It's a network interface card. Is that what you're talking about? The one that shows
they do
all
that.
Of
yeah,
the
they
IP
do that, yeah.
addresses with which it would be in contact?
That's it. That's, yeah, what Claire says.
A NIC. N-I-C.
Yeah, they put that in. They've already scanned the machines and the tabulators. They then released the machines and the tabulators and sent them back.
So if we saw there was something that came out. Yeah, there's track of where I see this stuff. But there was a whole big thing about how the machines had been erased. Is that real? Not by you guys, but like that the bad guys had erased the machines or wiped out all the data.
Machines were tampered with.
Didn't it turn out that the database that contained the information for that election in Maricopa County had been removed from the file folder into which it previously had been and should have remained, and it was removed, but they were still able to recover it? That's what I read.
That's correct.
How awkward for them.
And see that's my next question is, I mean, we're waxing over 7 months since the election. We still don't have answers, and I'm kind of curious, why is it taking so long to present the evidence we have to the public? I mean, people are frustrated. It's gone on so long that I think people are going to say, hey, you know what? They've had 7 months to change all this and make it all work out. So nothing's going to happen
way
now
to
because they've changed it all.
We have to channel the contraries,
covered,
Bill.
Yeah, they've covered their ASSs and now it's too late. Is that possible?
No.
Okay. All right, I'm just going hysterical here.
Classic. He's channeling the hysterical. That was Bill's job today.
It took long because initially the Arizona Senate, who has the authority to do this, did not think they had the authority. And so they had to be briefed. They had to be taught their constitutional authority. This has never been done in the United States before. So it's not like people knew. So once they had been properly educated constitutionally, then that same process had to be done with the courts, with the supervisors and other people. And so it was a slow process. Once it had been established that the state senate in each state has the constitutional authority to subpoena, much less review, any election, and they have the authority and the power to enforce their authority. In this case, the state senate has the authority and the power to arrest anyone who interferes or is alleged to have interfered or does not allow for the proper review of an election. All of that had to be taught, and once it was taught, it had to be validated. And once it was validated, then what we began to see was balking. They have done everything they can except throw the kitchen sink into this to slow it down or to derail it. Even so much as a week or so ago, $1 million was brought in to hire a group of attorneys to place an injunction on the auditing. So this has been a week by week. Every couple of days, there's always been something new to derail this audit. It's been rather daunting, to be honest with you.
Oh, On top of that,
you have RINOs, Republicans in name only, who have not supported this. And so that adds to the confusion. It does not change the authority that's been granted under the Constitution, but it adds to the confusion where the Democrats and the Marxists will say, see, even your own party does not agree with this. Again, 4 out of the 5 county supervisors are Republican in name only. They're very liberal, but they also don't agree with this. Now, what was fascinating is at one time, the county supervisors, quote unquote, did their own audit and came back and said, there's nothing here. So yes. Everything's fine. So then why are you putting up such a big stink if there's nothing there? Well, that's a question they still refuse to answer. But the people who did the audit for them are in-house people anyway and are not national security or cybersecurity specialists. So there's been one thing after another to slow this down, derail it, to try to win popular support and to undercut the authority that the Constitution provides the Senate to have. So all of that has to be factored into this.
And I would imagine that the fact that the legislature didn't know that they had that authority, I mean, I'm not really surprised at that because this hasn't really happened before. I guess for people who follow elections, there, you know, we've seen a lot of shenanigans and we probably should have had some pretty serious forensic audits in the past if it got down to it. This was just so big that it's caused everybody to look at it a different way. Let's take a really quick break and then come back so I don't have to interrupt you again. So I thought I
can interrupt.
No.
No?
I learned that from Lyle. Nope.
Nope.
Was it nope? I think it was nope.
Nope.
Going to use that all day. So here we got some good songs for the auditors. Here, throw these out to the auditors. God bless them. Go Arizona. You can find all this information at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold. It's a cool place.
When they do Lyle Rupacki the musical, you can use that as your theme song.
Nice.
Hey, so we were.
I think Bill raised a point that Claire might want to jump in on.
Whoa, you're reading our mind.
Well, in that, and Bill's correct. People are angry. They're more than angry. they're pretty damn livid. What am I basing this on? My show, Arizona Today, at Prescott News, has gone to 1.4 million viewers every week. The way I know that, I am not good at this, and you all know this. My editor and other people would tell me how many clicks or hits are on their platforms, and I didn't even know if that was good. Like what you like, one platform said you have, you know, Dr. Lauer, you have 275,000 hits on that. And I go, is that good? I didn't know if it was a hit or a good thing. And they go, oh my gosh, that's really good. But you know what's even better? They're on it for 60 seconds. I went, but the show is 25 minutes. Why are they only on it for 60 seconds? So everybody knows that Dr. Lyle's not. Yeah, well, they all know this stuff, Bill. I don't know
that's
this
the
stuff.
Intro.
And that's a true story, and you can talk to the editor, and she'll tell you, nope, he did say that. So anyway, that's how we know 1.3 to 1.4, and it seems to be growing. But it's on when we release it again on Prescott E! News. But then it goes to, Rumble, BitChute, and then some other site that I'm not aware of. And then I send it out to about 25 platforms across the country. So all across this nation, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds. I'm not making it up. I'm getting ready to do a show on Arizona Today that I'm going to show all the letters. There's thousands, thousands. And the people are livid at what has happened to this nation, and especially just in the last 120 days under Biden, 150 days, they're livid. And so they're cheering on this audit. Well, with that said, that's almost like a good setup. It's almost like I've been hired. I'm aware that the people are angry that this has taken so long and they're questioning. But as I just briefly mentioned, there's been a lot of struggle, a lot of problems associated with this because people have put roadblocks up. But more to the point, if this is not resolved, I think there will be civil unrest, and that's something that Claire Mayer may not agree with, but she can speak into.
Well, I certainly take your point, Lyle. And, you know, for people who follow social media you know, lots of entries, not necessarily official news sites, but blog sites, social media, there is exactly what Lyle just said. There is a fury and an anger across America because this has never happened before. We've had all kinds of division in this country. Goodness knows the Civil War. You know, many, many other trials and crises in this country. But we've never, ever had the bedrock of our constitutional republic, which is a free and fair election, questioned, challenged at this level of at least purported evidence that's been displayed now for many months. You know, I'll go back, you know, to some of these legislative hearings, for example, in Arizona that Lyle was at. This is the thing in this modern age of you know, social media, yes, but the technology, you know, the cell phones, the ever-present screens in front of people's eyes, this kind of information is widespread. It's not something hidden or unknown. People know this stuff. In a way that was not possible before this technological age. And that's how it has spread, and that's how the anger has spread, because the more they see, the more they read, the more of these signed and sworn affidavit witnesses raise their right hand, the angrier Americans get. Because this is a direct challenge to the legitimacy of our constitutional republic.
And so, Can you speak a little bit more about the when we talk about technology, the machines? A lot of people are talking about how the machines were altered, and of course, you know, if one guy gets, you know, 1.5 votes, the other guy gets a half a vote. Talk to us about what we found there and how that was possible.
Lyle can probably add even more to it than this, but here's my understanding from listening to watching, like I said, these signed sworn affidavit witnesses And I did watch the hearings in front of the Arizona legislature. I think the Michigan one and the Georgia one, not the Pennsylvania one. So I didn't catch all of it. I've also watched the three, I think it is, films out now from Mike Lindell, Absolute Proof, Absolute Science, and the third is escaping me, but it was the most recent one. And from what I glean from all of those sources that I've looked at, read, and watched, there are a number of problems. One has to do with the technologies, as you say there. The technology having to do with the Dominion voting systems, the hardware and the derivative software, doesn't all have the name Dominion on it, but it is derivative of Dominion and of its software that may have begun with something called Smartmatic, for example. This hardware and the first associated software, allegedly at least, was developed with the assistance of the Cuban intelligence service in Venezuela back in 2006 when Hugo Chavez was still alive. Of course, we know he died of cancer in 2013. Nicolas Maduro has been there ever since. But this hardware and this derivative software was first developed to keep Hugo Chavez in office. And apparently it worked pretty well, at least up until his demise. Worked for Nicolas Maduro ever since. That hardware and much of the software subsequently was brought into the United States and sold to states by way of secretaries of states all over the United States. I mean, dozens. Not every single state, but many dozens. And the software does things, at least allegedly, and according to the manual, the user's manual for Dominion software, it actually features a feature that allows votes to be, for one thing, rejected as they go through a tabulator at a certain rate, and that can be set in the machine. And what that would do and has done in many states of this 2020 election was kick out a bunch of votes, a bunch of ballots that then had to be quote-unquote adjudicated by a human being.
And what would be the criteria for that? I mean, that seems kind of silly to have.
The criteria was simply preset into the machinery. Typically, a kick out rate would be very, very low. I mean, 1% or less of all votes would be kicked out for some anomaly of the ballot, the paper, the marking, the whatever.
Okay.
But this machine or these machines could be set for a rejection rate as high, I've seen, as 68%. Astronomical, off the charts, unreal.
And wouldn't that
and
kick
the
out
the... And then the human adjudicator steps in, and that human adjudicator can do whatever that person wants with that vote.
But that kick-out rate doesn't necessarily have anything to do with party, does it?
Not necessarily. The party part, if you will, comes in with the human adjudicator who has complete access and control over deciding for whom, for which candidate, that ballot really should have been marked were it not for the anomaly or the stray pencil mark or whatever.
Oh, okay.
They can decide whatever they want.
Nice.
And they did. So that's one thing. Another thing is something that I heard described at a couple of the legislative hearings, and that's something called fractional race. This is called the fractional race theory or
yes.
Fractional race vote?
Yeah. Fractional rate tabulation, that's correct.
Okay, and what that means is this crazy wacko system of counting votes in fractions. Instead of saying, you know, Lyle and Aaron and Bill and I, and we all go to vote, and my vote is one, Lyle's is two, Aaron's is three, and Bill's is four, and, you know, two of us vote for one candidate, two vote for the other, and that tabs up as two for candidate A, two for candidate B. That's what's supposed to be, right? Mm-hmm. Well, no, not with this, absolutely insane system. It's what I heard you refer to just a bit ago, where votes can be tabulated as, let's say, my vote, my one vote, can go into the machine, the tabulator, and with the Dominion software and derivative thereof, it can be counted as, my vote can be counted as a 0.75 for candidate A, and that extra quarter, that extra 25%, well, that can go over to, Charlie over there who voted for candidate B, and instead of candidate B getting one vote by Charlie, Charlie's vote for candidate B now counts as 1.25. And you multiply that by millions upon millions, and you can see where discrepancies come in.
And so I guess where I'm a little confused here is, why would you have a feature like that built into it?
For cheating.
And they didn't know that was built in prior to taking on these machines?
It was built for Hugo Chavez in Venezuela by the Cuban intelligence services and Venezuelan intelligence people.
Okay.
Let me jump in. Do we have a few minutes before commercial or not?
We do. And I just want to make sure, because I have a question that came in on text. And he was asking, because the machines have a chip, does that make it possible to manipulate the machine? And I'm assuming that he's thinking manipulate the machine from maybe outside? Or is all this programmed
not
in prior?
Okay, it's not through the NIC, the network interface card that I was talking about, if that's what they're referring to. That cannot be manipulated, no. And that records all the URL, IP addresses,
right.
That machine has been connected with back to whenever. But if you mean chip, as in a computer, then, that can be messed with.
I will also go further.
Especially when it has an internet connection.
Right, okay.
Which these did.
Okay, I'll go further. Everything that Claire has just shared is true. Secondly, it was given to me in January. Going back to a question Bill asked, why has it taken a long time? We've never been down this road before, and this has been a very sophisticated operation, multiple dimensions of sophistication. And while there was a tremendous amount of evidence, preliminary evidence, prima facie evidence, and up to probable cause evidence submitted on November 30th and then subsequently, there were still a lot of questions that could not be answered, did not have the answers, were not able to attach A to B, B to C. The end of January, a legislator received a phone call from out of state, and this person said, do you know Dr. Lyle on his show? Because I've been watching his show, and he needs to have this evidence that I have. The legislator said, I've known him for years, and that legislator said, I will talk to him. Well, when that legislator called me, I said, you deal with it. At that point in time, I was so overwhelmed. And I had so many people giving me so much information on how to do the computers, how to do this, if they only do that. It was just overwhelming. That legislator went back to that person, and that person gave them a couple of pieces of information, to which the legislator then returned another call to me and said this and this. So I called this individual, and I swore, before you go any further, you prepare to give me your name, your date of birth, your Social Security number, and your residence, because I will do a full background check on you. Are you okay with that? He said, absolutely. He gave me all that information. Again, I said, before you say anything, I will do a full background check on you. If there's anything you're lying about, I would just as soon you hang up now. He did not. We then had an hour and a half phone call. At the conclusion of that hour and a half phone call, what I can tell you today, I can't discuss all of it, but what I can tell you is what Claire just said, we have validated. We have the IP addresses, which we didn't have before January 24th. We have the teaching manuals. We have all of the manuals that Dominion used, and they put on a program 1 year before the selection. We know which states and who in those states were sent to that program, including Maricopa County, who went, who was paid, and how they were taught to do exactly what Claire's talking about, but what we've uncovered. All of that we now have as evidence, not opinion, not affidavits, but as evidence. Affidavits, by the way, can be evidence if they're sworn and all that, notarized. But we have the actual data. We have the actual materials. We have the actual books. We have the actual training lessons, all of that. We also know that the IPs were gathered. We have the IP addresses. We have the two satellites that were employed. We know which countries put those up and how they were used with the laptops that were outside the voting polls. And so when somebody came in, again, what Claire's talking about, we put 1.4 vote or 1.5, how, you know, all of that.
Sure.
How that's all done, how that was registered, how it was changed, how the machines manipulated. We have all that. We did not have that.
Nice.
Before January 24th.
All right. There's we're going to come back and we're going to talk more about this, obviously, with Dr. Lyle Rabacki and Claire Lopez. And you can find all of this at wethepeopleradio.us. Are listening to the second hour in the scintillating drama that is the Arizona audit.
Whew. Yeah.
I know, and it is a scintillating drama.
This is going to make a great movie.
It is. And if you're not paying attention to that, you really should be, because it's now starting to hit the media and most of the press is negative, which really means you should start paying attention because they're getting close.
Yeah.
So my name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Hey, generator season is here. First big fire we have, PG&E is going to pull the plug, and you're going to need a generator. So go by and see them. They handle the Honda generator line. They've got plenty on hand. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, or you can give them a call at 226-9226. A lot of knowledge down there. Give them a call, and they'll let you know what they got in stock and so forth. Or you can get them online at
Pape Machinery, P-A-P-E.
P-A-P-E.
It's important.
We've got
to
yes.
do the spelling.
Yeah, papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
Yeah, there you go.
So, back to our guests, Dr. Lyle Rabacki and Claire Lopez. Two of them have tons of credentials, lots in national security. That's really basically where you guys typically, you know, cross paths and collaborate, right, is all on national security stuff?
Yeah, it really has been, but so many aspects of that, right?
Yeah, and this is all part and parcel because we've, you know, I mean, this is all part and parcel of that. Hey, Claire, when you were with the CIA, did you do, not necessarily, you know, forensic cyber stuff, but I'm sure there was a lot of cyber stuff that came across your...
No, there wasn't.
Really?
I hate to tell you, but I am so old that when I first started...
Oh, my God. She said the O word.
We did not have computers, and we did not have cell phones. Now, I had been introduced to computers in grad school before I went into the government service. But when we first started out, I'm telling you what, we were using IBM Selectric typewriters, and there were no cell phones
until later. When I met Bill, we were using an IBM Selectric typewriter. I had to type contracts for the equipment business. So, yeah, we predate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We
but
were.
That wasn't, I mean, that was never my field anyway. I'm like Lyle. I am a non-geek kind of person. I do have a daughter who's a millennial, and so she helps me when I get in trouble. And if she can't figure it out, her fiancé can. So that's how I get through.
Well, we're pretty decent with computers, but we're not good with computer games. We bought one time. It was called CivNet, and it was where you take over the world. It was kind of like the computerized version of Risk, And you know how Risk was, you know, you could never stop playing. So we thought, hey, this would be great. So we had this computer, you know, the big box. We brought it home, and we dragged two chairs in front of it on a Friday after work, and we started playing this game. You start with, like, a little man with a spear, and then he, like, takes over the world. And, yeah, Saturday morning, we were like awash in pizza boxes. We were still wearing the same clothes, and we hadn't showered. It's like, okay, let's take a shower, pack up this game, go to work, and give it to somebody else. We obviously have a problem, so... yeah, that was our big foray. So you spied on people for real. You had to actually spy on actual humans. You didn't get to just like peep on them through their electronics.
Well, I'm no cyber. You know, as I said, no cyber geek at all whatsoever. I don't know how to do those things.
But the game of dirty tricks and the cheating and the you know, all the things that bad guys in foreign countries and bad guys in our own country would do to undermine our republic. I mean, my guess is it hasn't changed much, just method, right?
I served in places which shall go unnamed to protect the guilty, but I will name Venezuela. I served in Venezuela. I spent 2 years there.
Oh, so you know just how they do stuff.
So yeah, I mean this is before Hugo Chavez was actually, by the way, he was voted into office. Hello.
Yeah.
I was there during the time when he actually staged two aborted coup d'états. He was a colonel in the army of Venezuela at the time and tried to overthrow the government with a coup d'état. They put it down very quickly. You know, middle of the night, the radios, we had radios, by the way. This was our connectivity. We had Motorola radios the size of, you know, bricks you could kill somebody with. And that's how we stayed connected in a network with the rest of the embassy. And they go off in the middle of the night, Es un golpe de Estado. And, they put it down very quickly, put him in jail, arrested all the coup leaders. They're all in jail. Like, a few months later, they let them all out of jail again. And what does he do? Again, he, Hugo Chavez, another coup d'etat attempt. And likewise, this one was put down very quickly, back to jail. And I think he spent a few years in jail this time. But then they let him out again, and then they let him run for president. And then he won the presidency. And
wow.
Never, ever was voted out until he died. And then his hand-picked successor, Nicolas Maduro, who, by the way, his credentials include being a bus driver before he became president of the country, succeeded Hugo Chavez and been in there ever since 2013.
Hmm. With the help of crooked voting machines.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
It does look that way.
Actually, what Claire's talking about in Venezuela was replicated here. That's something else that you are going to find out, but we're telling you now, and Colonel Waldron and I shared it on the show. In essence, what took place this last election was on parity, if not even more serious, than Pearl Harbor. We did not have the burning buildings and ships, but an attack on the United States occurred, and the attack was highly successful on Pearl Harbor, but also in this last election. It has violated our sanctity, our integrity of voting, our feelings of safety, the integrity of our election and our representation. And it really has undermined the United States in a horrific manner. If what comes out of the Maricopa County audit is what I believe will come out, and as soon as it starts to be revealed, three other state legislatures are preparing to follow suit. And then on top of that, five additional states are now in various stages of preparing and investigating. So that's eight additional states above Arizona. Now that's half the number of states that were impacted by this last election. We now know 15 states plus Arizona, 16, had the same systems and the same shutdowns. and the same collusion and the same fraud. So Arizona took the lead, and the rest of the nation has been watching. And it has been an uphill battle, a horrific battle. It's still ongoing, but inch by inch, what is taking place is an audit, a forensic audit of the machinery, which has already been done 2 weeks ago, and now the ballots, and associated materials. And what will come out of this is either A, there's nothing there, everything was literally okey-doke, then I will just say, parentheses, then why is everybody putting up such a stink? Why are they deliberately lying and thwarting this thing if there's nothing there? That's a question that the supervisors and other people will not answer. Secondly, if what is there is what we believe is there, then we have a constitutional crisis on our hands this nation does not face, mm-hmm. because we have an occupant in the White House that was not duly elected.
So if let's play a little what if. Okay, yeah. So Arizona comes out and says, okay, lots of fraud. We've proved it. We're going to start naming names. And the other 16 states are going, uh-oh. How big of a chance do you think there'll be that a lot of these other legislatures are going to look at this and go, you know what, guys, there was fraud, but we don't want to go here because this is going to be catastrophic to our government if we go down this road. So let's just let it go.
Well, I will say to you that we've already been in touch with other states,
uh-huh.
and they realize that if they don't go ahead and get to the bottom of this, there will be catastrophic consequences anyway.
Okay.
Secondly, three additional states, as I just mentioned, are seriously investigating and reinvestigating. In other words, they started, then they stopped because they saw all the problems associated with Arizona, all the heartburn, all the attacks, and they stopped. Well, they've begun again. And there are three state legislatures outside of Arizona that are now in various stages of getting ready to move ahead with their own formal investigations. Forensic teams have already been on the ground, not the ones that are here in Arizona. Colonel Waldron's team has been on the ground in a couple of states. There are five additional states beyond the three that have now reopened the whole question of the fraud issue and the hearings that they began a few months ago, and then they quickly stopped. So that leaves eight additional states beyond Arizona that are now putting back to the forefront the whole question of the November 6th election. This is magnitude that we've never been through.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
And indeed, the results of Arizona come through in what I think will be proven, and I can make that statement because I'm not part of the audit, so I'm not prejudiced. In other words, I don't have a preconceived notion that will alter any work that I'm doing, because I'm not involved with that. I've been allowed the privilege of doing what, and I love the conversation you had with Claire, Aaron, about operations with the CIA and all that. She's really, really smart, and she really, really does know super secret squirrel stuff, what we call it in the business. But I do human intel, and I think that's Claire might validate that we're in juxtaposition like that. It's an area of human intel, and then I've gone on and did political intelligence. And what I mean by political intelligence, it's not to get something on a political person, but it's to deal with the problems politically and to see if you can come up with answers to keep something like this from happening in the first place.
So do you think that regardless of whether they pursue it in Arizona, will the information come out? I mean, will the findings come out? Okay.
Yes. Yes. I will tell you that we're in some very, very tricky waters. I'm not being funny, and I'm not being defensive, and I'm not giving a plausible deniability. The truth is going to come out. Too much is at stake. Our very, as Claire said also, our very national integrity is at stake. And too many people, too many people across this nation are livid. They're livid at what they believe has happened, what preliminary evidence has already come forward, and now the results of an election that appears highly fraudulent. And now what we've got is a government that's Marxist in shaping under Biden.
And, you know, and I think people would be, I think people would care a lot. I think there would be a lot of emotion. I think that would all be happening. But I think that just the raw anger is being really driven and fueled by the fact that, you know, the full-on capture of our mainstream media and all the little talking heads in our current puppet regime under Biden, all they tell you is that all this is part of the big lie, just part of the big lie. And people know that that's not true. And they're sick of being told that, and they're sick of being told that they're basically stupid.
Well, and the fact that
they fell for a, quote, big lie.
Right.
That they know isn't a lie.
But the information hasn't come out yet. And I think that's part of the big frustration, too, is they're just tired
of
waiting.
But I'll interject here because tremendous amount of information has come out. And people have watched it on TV.
Exactly.
Many have even taken the trouble to read texts and, you know, of statements made. And even if they don't understand all the scientific terminology and exactly what the cyber, you know, things mean, they got the drift.
Oh, yeah.
And I speak to groups all over the country. So
this particular audit, this particular audit thing hasn't come out yet, but, yeah, lots of other stuff has.
Oh, yeah, but no, tons about it has come out. That's what people don't understand. There's an enormous amount of information about it already in the public sphere.
True. And you know
that's correct. And what Claire is saying is I just want to dovetail in on what Claire is saying, and that is so very true. And people much more sophisticated than I am have worked awfully hard these last 7 months. I know I'm exhausted, and there are people who are even closer to this than I who are far more exhausted. It's been a daunting task these last 7 months, very tiring, very costly in many ways, which we won't talk about today. But if you go back, and I don't mean to be self-serving or pretentious, I really don't, you guys. Go back, for goodness sakes, just go back to Arizona Today on Prescott E! News.
That's what I was just going to tell people, is they definitely should go look.
I was speaking at a function the other day, 1,500 people, and I tried to lay out a bunch of things, and somebody was suggesting what you were suggesting, Aaron. I'm not picking on you, but you're saying what Claire said is so right on. And I said the same thing. I said, you know, sir, with all due respect to you, you're absolutely wrong, and I don't have the emotional patience to sit here and listen to this garbage. Information has gone out, and you may not be getting it from the right sources, but information is being released. It's being released very systematically, very soberly, in a most responsible way. Because there's stuff we can't release just yet for reasons you won't accept anyway. So why even talk to you about it?
Yeah, because they're going to say, "Well, it's not done yet." So why are you telling us that?
The definitive answer is just
coming.
Go back to my programs on Arizona Today at Prescott E! News and look at the shows that I did with Colonel Waldron, Phil Waldron, and what you're going to see are two programs specifically, parts one and two, and I broke it up on purpose. Parts one and two, two different times, two different shows. That's four programs where we begin to open up the curtain, and we begin, as Claire was just talking about, releasing valid, responsible information. And so the people across the nation, we the people, are very angry, are very annoyed, because we know we've been duped. We may not have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted, but there's enough information that's now validated to show that we've been duped.
I'm gonna add those as a special link. I have the Prescott E! News link on there, but I will pull those out and link them so that they're
easy
for people to find. And we have to take a quick break, but we're going to be back. What are you looking at me for?
Well, I was just waiting for my part.
I like it better when I can catch you unaware. You're ruining my, you're jamming my jam. Yeah. You can find us at We The People Radio.
.us.
I moved out to Langley recently with a plain and simple dream. Wanna infiltrate some third world place and topple their regime. Those men in black with their mansion suitcases, where everything's on a need-to-know basis. Agents got that swagger, everyone's so cloak and dagger. I'm feeling nervous, but I'm really kinda wishing for an undercover mission. That's when the red alert came on the radio, and I put my earpiece on. Got my dark sunglasses on, and I had my weapon drawn. So I get my handcuffs, my cyanide pills, my classified dossier. Phones like, yeah. Shredding the files like, yeah. And memorized all the enemy's spies. I gotta neutralize today. Yeah. It's a party in the CIA. Yeah. It's a party in the CIA.
Either that or play the second part of the Party in the CIA for Claire. Oh,
I hear the, the drumming in my head. Yeah. You know, yeah. I said earlier, and I want to correct myself, that the information hasn't come out. I know the information has come out, but I think where the frustration is all this stuff we've been hearing, and still we're just... You know, we have the feeling that we're not doing anything. We're, you know, nothing's ever been done. Nobody's going to jail.
Resolved. There's no, you know, end point yet, but we haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah,
and, you
I know.
What Law's talking about is that they're still working at it, and not just Arizona, but how many other states are primed and prepped to follow?
Right. And I agree. I mean, this is bigger than anything I think our country's ever gone through, short of the Civil War. But we've never been here before, and I think a lot of people are scared to death where this is going to lead, and don't really know what's going to happen.
Good point.
Yeah.
Hey, do either of you have any idea? Like, okay, let's just pretend. All the things that are possible, like they cheated on the actual physical ballots, they cheated on the electronics, they completely cooked the books, and it was, say it's 200,000 votes off. Does anybody know what would happen? Like, if that's all definitively proven, what would happen?
You know, I mean, it basically, I think, it will certainly wind up in Congress.
Oh,
and it may very well wind up in the Supreme Court. There's no other place this can go. It has to go there.
Well, it's interesting because what I've learned is what Claire just said, is if it shows not just Arizona, but then these other states like dominoes begin to fall, it will go to Congress where each state gets one vote.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the Supreme Court, if you remember, chose not to take up these cases. So they've not been prejudiced. They have not heard these cases. So that is still an avenue that can be reached. You'll recall that they refused to listen to Sidney Powell. They refused to listen to some of the other cases that were being brought, or the charges that were being brought. One can make a whole deal out of that. With the Chief Justice, and he's a rhino. But
well, in a way, is that a good thing?
The fact of the matter is they chose not to accept or entertain these cases associated with election fraud. So therefore, they haven't dealt with them. So that is still an avenue, as Claire was just pointing out. But ultimately, it will go to the Congress. Now, before that, Arizona, anyway, will have to decertify their electors. And that's another problem. Each state will have to do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
We're in some very ticklish waters here, folks.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, this is really bad news for our republic when something like this happens, and if it's proven that it's happened, we're going to have to make some hard choices.
Would you have to?
We have to go through it, or the republic fails.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like the Civil War, we had to go through it, or that would have been the end of the Union. We have to go through it, however difficult the pathway may be. If we are to save the republic, that is what the stakes are.
Well, tell me this: how would it work? I don't even want to ask this. Like the whole paper ballot and the electronics, can one state have enough? I realize every state does have an impact, but do you have to wait until the other states potentially look into their election, or would the results of Arizona be enough to kick it up to the Supreme Court and all that? Or does anybody even know?
I'm not sure I even really understand your question.
Well, do you have to have more states come forward? Do you have to have enough people to show that the national election was affected in more than just one spot before it would say go to the Supreme Court, or they would revisit the outcome of the entire election? Or is it just,
how much do they have to see before they...
Or does it go just state by state by state?
No, I'm not a lawyer, but I...
Come on, you stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, haven't you?
Well, actually, 2 weeks ago, I was at Holiday Inn Express.
I rest my case.
Okay, I do too. We're adjourned.
Who says we're not lawyers?
If Arizona's audit comes forward with absolute proof to the numbers that I mentioned earlier, then that's a very, very serious problem for Arizona. That throws into question the certification of the electors for Arizona, because Biden did not win Arizona then. Trump did. If that's the case, following the same pattern of audit and the forensic evaluations in at least three states and five others that are now looking at it, so eight more states, I would have reason to think that would speed up their process, because Arizona has already done the labor over all these months, but they can now speed it up. They won't have to have a necessary legislative hearing. They'll just move right toward what Arizona's done, which is to have the Senate in their state go ahead and subpoena and start the process. So that will be a quicker process than what Arizona's gone through. If the results come out and dominoes begin to fall, then very quickly I think what we will see is appeal to the Supreme Court and then also to the Congress to delay the last election. After that, I don't think anyone knows what the hell would happen. We've never been down this road, and so there's no rule book, there's no guidepost, there's a slight written understanding in our Constitution. But we've never been down this road, guys, in our whole nation.
Yeah.
And Claire's right. If we fail to do this, our republic's over.
Yeah,
because what does republic mean? The actual word republic is from two Greek words. I'm sorry, Latin words. Res publica. Res means the thing. Publica means public. The public thing. What is the public thing in America? It's the Constitution. Mm-hmm. It's the law. That's why we are not, Greek word, a democracy, rule of the majority, of the demos, the people.
Right.
We're a republic with democratic features, elected representational government, but we are a constitutional republic, the law.
Yeah.
Well, we have been up until now.
Well, yeah. And it cracks me up that people think it's majority rule. That's really not.
No, it's not. That was greatly said, see. That really is. We're a republic, and our republic was assaulted. Not even assaulted. I think Phil Waldron corrected me one day. He said, wow, it wasn't even assaulted. We were under attack. We fell under an attack, much like Pearl Harbor. And we're in some deep trouble.
Except that it was internal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what really makes a difference. That attack was internal. Yes, there were external features, and we can talk about some of that. But this plot, and there's no other way to put it, this was a plot. It was internal.
That's correct.
Yeah, any indication that these people also were the same folks who messed around in different states with the results? Can you tell yet?
What do you mean?
Like were the same players, or was all this, because I guess I just don't
No, I mean, each state had its own slate of actors, but Democrat Party.
Right, I mean, I don't believe in coincidence, so I'm assuming that the players who worked Arizona also are the ones who would have taken part in other states around the country altogether.
Well, I think Kyle said that this whole training thing happened in all these states. So your state attorney or your state house all had people involved, each state. If I'm understanding it correctly.
I'm dying to see how they all tie together. You can't say anything about that yet because probably that's all part of the results package.
Correct.
Drats. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I picture this a bit like one of those crime shows, you know, where you have the murder board and the string that goes from person to person to person. Any idea the hub of it? Are you guys getting a sense of the origin part? Not.
Well, the hub has to be national level, right? I mean, the hub has to be national DNC.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my guess.
There's no other place to go.
Sure.
What I can tell you factually based on evidence, not affidavits, not supposition, hypotheses, theories, all the rest of that stuff, but on evidence that has been received. Russia was not that involved. So this Russia is crap.
Yes, yes.
Were they at least interested? Yes. Did they participate a wee bit? Yes. But then stop. Just stop with the Russia crap.
What about China?
And no, I'm not a Russia defender.
You're Putin's puppet.
Yeah.
But China was the predominant benefactor as well as instigator. Six other nations were involved, two satellites, tremendous amount of monies, well over $1 billion, went into this. It was planned 4 years, 5 years in advance. When Hillary did not win, that set them off. And they pulled it off, as Claire said in the top of the show, very sophisticatedly, very smoothly, like they did with Cesar Chavez. Venezuela was involved in this also. Two satellites.
Hugo Chavez, huh?
I mean, Hugo Chavez. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Claire. Hugo Chavez and Venezuela was involved in this latest attack on the United States. Same system as they used, 3-4 years ago, I think, wasn't it, Claire, with Hugo?
Were the paper ballots as big a factor as the electronic counting? I mean, you mentioned that they had proof that a lot of the paper ballots were phony. I don't know if you can tell us, but how can you tell if a ballot is fake?
Arizona is getting ready to launch a brand new ballot that will be the state-of-the-art for the nation. It will be on my show probably in another week or two. We'll show it to you. It's similar to our money where you can try to counterfeit it, but you'll be able to tell that it's a counterfeit ballot. That's all I can say right now. But
okay.
Well, remember the testimony that's been given very publicly in a couple of places, Arizona for one, by, what's his first name, Jason Pulitzer.
Mm-hmm.
What's his is his first name Jason? Pulitzer, anyway. And he's a forensic expert who can and has looked at paper ballots and described their features. He's done this in public testimony, sworn affidavit testimony in multiple places. So we know this is already a factor.
Right.
It was a combination of ballots that were quickly brought into various states and voting sections, precincts. They were both counterfeit ballots and ballots that were altered the vote was altered on the brand new ballot to take the place of those that were cast. And then secondly, the machinery was altered, as Claire has already talked about, as we've learned in Venezuela, where you can do fractionalized voting.
Right.
And that has been proven also. So it was a two-for hit, if you will.
Yeah. And that's, I guess, when you can alter a machine, it really does kind of void any paper ballots you stick in it. I mean, it really doesn't matter what you put on the paper ballot if the machine's going to count the way it wants to count.
But you see, they've got it covered multiple ways.
Yeah,
we're right.
I apologize to Mr. Pulitzer. I mangled his name. His first name is Jovan.
Jovan. I knew Pulitzer. It was a tricky name.
Yeah, apologies to Mr. Pulitzer.
Yeah, so it was kind of a multi-pronged attack.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah,
but
think of it as layering, you know, layering offensive. You think of the Israeli defense system as layered defense of against incoming missiles. This is a layered offense, if you will, of various voting alleged irregularities and fraud and cheating.
Well, I think hopefully it turns out like everything else they do. They're evil, but they're not geniuses. So,
well, couple that with the fact they always go too far.
Well, they always overreach.
Aaron, you're making a valid point, because one of the other things that will come out, it's already come out, and we've already talked about it, not on this show, but Colonel Waldron and I did. Let's say there's a state or a county or a precinct where you have 1,000 people that can vote totally. Well, what they did is they shut down the precinct, then they reopened it, and they had 5,000 people vote. Well, that's 4,000 more than even live in the precinct.
Right.
And this is evidence that we have seen over and over again. So this is evidence. It's not speculation. It's not hypothesis. We have that evidence. We have evidence of 25 people voting at a Chick-fil-A, for instance.
That was the address they used?
Yes.
Brilliant. Like, I'm sure nobody could figure that out. We have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back talking about the Arizona audit. And for those of you that haven't been paying attention, well, it's not too late. You can catch up. You can go to wethepeopleradio.us.
They did a bad, bad thing. 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 You ever loved someone so much you thought your little heart was gonna break in two?
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
Yes.
Not closing my eyes.
So, can you highlight any other let's say, missteps. It's too late for them to correct their missteps, but, you know, basic stuff like mixing up paper, having too many people in a polling place, that kind of stuff.
Well, chain of custody was another one.
Yeah. Chain of custody issues have been a problem. I think what we're going to find, not just in Arizona, but that's where I'm speaking of, is a number of elected officials who, instead of doing what they were sworn to do, which is to protect and defend the Constitution and we the people, they've chose to compromise their positions and go for the quick, the expedient, the self-serving. That's what's happened in Arizona. We have a number of public officials, elected officials, who instead of standing up for the integrity of our system and for protecting the people, which is what they're supposed to do when they take office, they've chosen to turn their backs on the people and to promote self-serving interests. I think we're going to find the same thing across the nation. And what's really happening here is we're seeing a dichotomy between those people who are patriots and are willing to like our forefathers, put their lives, their fortunes, their businesses, and their reputations on the line versus those that are looking for an expedient way out. I think that's what Claire was beginning to share when it comes to the unrest that is just boiling across this country.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this in between there, and I was mentioning that I think the confluence of issues and events and anger are going to, that confluence is going to boil over this summer. And I was saying that it's already begun again. Some of you and the listeners may know that the Jewish people celebrated Shavuot, the holiday of Shavuot last week, which ended on Tuesday, the 11th of May. And that is, of course, the commemoration of the giving of the Torah to the Jewish people. Well, it ended on Tuesday night, and immediately in places like the Fairfax neighborhood of Los Angeles in California, mobs came out in cars waving Palestinian flags on foot and simply looking for Jews to attack, asking people on the street, are you Jewish? Who's Jewish? And then attacking them. In Brooklyn, of course, we've seen the horrific videos, you know, singling out people who are dressed as Jews so they're identifiable, and simply attacking them on the street for that. But this is Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, here's the connection. Black Lives Matter movement, of course, completely backed, supported by both the Muslim Brotherhood in this country and the Chinese Communist Party. So there's your red, black, green axis, and I think it's going to come together this summer again, even as it did last summer.
Yeah, it's almost like they're looking for a reason to just burn it down. You know, it doesn't make sense.
They are looking for a reason, any reason, to collapse this nation.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think one of the other concerns that has been voiced by citizens is that as these audits begin to reveal a high level of sophisticated attack that this nation sustained, as that becomes evidence, not hypothetical, I think you're going to have these radical groups step up all the more to punish that this has come forward. And the Dems won't say a word.
Mm. Yeah, it's amazing to me. You know, I'm not that old, but, you know, when you had a riot in the past or you had civil unrest or whatever, I mean, It was taken care of pretty quickly, and, you know, the root causes were figured out, and things went back to normal. We've never gone back to normal. I mean, you look at Portland and Seattle and, you know, some of these cities that just,
it's,
you know,
never stopped.
Every week it's something else that they can riot about, and it's allowed, it's tolerated.
Right, because the reason is the revolution. The communist revolution isn't done yet.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is never the issue. Poverty, policing in inner city areas or what have you. That is not the issue.
That's
it's
a
never
great
the
point.
Issue.
Yeah.
The issue is the revolution, and the revolution is not done until the system falls completely. It's exactly what Lyle was just saying. And it will go on for whatever reason, and in particular in these places that are ruled by Democrat mayors, governors. You know, I hesitate to even call them Democrat. They are Marxists.
Socialist Marxists.
And they, how this is totally a subjective question, so this is just, you know, your opinion.
Oh, go ahead, let it fly.
How coordinated do you think all this is? I mean,
very coordinated.
Very,
okay.
Very
coordinated.
Because it feels
Antifa,
really.
For example,
yeah.
Antifa has cells all over the United States, totally interconnected, and connected to European, Western European cities, and they have done training in the Middle East. That's Antifa. Black Lives Matter movement is intimately connected with all of the Muslim Brotherhood front groups, like CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, and also with the Chinese Communist Party. I'll tell you the story of the Houston consulate someday. It's very interconnected. Antifa and BLM, they train together, they go to classes on Marxism together, and they go to the gyms together to learn street tactics, and they operate on the street together. Totally interconnected.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
read Andy Ngo's book if you want to learn more about some of this. Andy Ngo, the citizen reporter journalist.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Andy Ngo, NGO. It's called Unmasked. I just finished it a while ago. Very good book that'll give you a lot of insights on this kind of stuff.
Yeah, Andy. Andy's last name is spelled NGO, even though it's
NGO. No.
Yeah, last
Andy
I heard,
Ngo.
He had to leave the country for the safety of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had to flee the country from his home city of Portland, Oregon, because the local police and FBI refused to help him or give him any kind of protection or go after those who were constantly peppering him with not just real attacks, but death threats. So he fled the country to London, to Britain.
Right.
Andy Ngo is now in Britain.
Yeah.
Because
is that
if you
turn about or what?
Yeah, if you report on these guys, there's no tolerance. Just out of curiosity, Lyle, the people that are pressing for the audit to go forward, how I know, you know, things happen, but ballpark, how long do you think it will take for the audit to complete, or is that just kind of depends on where it goes?
It starts again tomorrow.
Okay.
And it will take they're looking at 3 weeks.
Okay. And then is the data crunching happening concurrently, or does that happen after? You know what I mean? Like, will they have findings at the end, or does it take time for them to pull that?
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard reporting that there will not be a final report until the fall.
Okay, that's kind of what I was wondering.
Yeah, that's correct. But that's correct. A final, formal, full and complete report.
Yeah, like October, November.
But there will be findings
reported.
There will be findings that most likely will be leaked.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think as that information leaks out, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure to have some kind of resolution. So I don't think they'll be able to hold off forever.
Yeah. Well, you could always come and leak them on here, and I don't know. You could call Anthony Weiner or maybe Mitt Romney to come up with a fake name for you, because they're both really good at that.
Yeah.
We have Carlos Danger and Pierre Delecto. The bar's pretty low. You can come up with pretty much anything. And yeah. Sky's the limit.
I just may come over and be invited to come over to your area and give us a speech. Maybe Claire and I can come over and do a presentation.
Oh, that'd be super fun.
Take a few days off and just.
Oh, that would be so much fun, you know.
You guys are more than welcome. And you know, I guarantee you, I just got to guarantee you there'd be a nice big crowd. It'd be super safe too, because you know we're the majority here, so
yeah,
our rabble goes down pretty quick.
Yeah,
they're in the process of crushing a few very large drug cartels actually at the moment, running them out of town just north of us. So that's good news too. So you know we're not even going to be awash in drug cartels. You guys could have the whole place to yourselves.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy.
And then we'll stay at a Holiday Inn.
There you go, and then you can be a lawyer.
You can go back totally qualified.
Yes. Then you're the lawyer. Oh my.
We'll talk about anything.
Exactly. We'll do our show about nothing that we've talked about doing.
We still need to do that sometime.
I know we do. Well, thank you guys for coming on that. And so I did pick out the perfect last song for you, you know, since we are talking road trip. And so this could be like a theme setter for you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for coming on, guys. You betcha.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Join us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Bye-bye.